ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय from Canto 10, Chapter 24, chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva. Tanduraradhyam aradhya Satamapi durapaya Padamulam vinavahi Tam duraradhyam aradhya Satamapi durapaya Kanta bhaktya ko vanche Padamulam vinavahi Tam duraradhyam aradhya Satamapi durapaya Kanta bhaktya ko vanche Padamulam vinavahi Word for word, let's repeat Tam. Unto you. Duraradhyam.
Duraradhyam.
Very difficult to worship.
Very difficult to worship.
Aradhya.
Aradhya.
Having worshipped.
Having worshipped.
Satamapi.
Satamapi.
Even for the most exalted persons.
Even for the most exalted persons.
Durapaya.
Durapaya.
Very difficult to attain.
Very difficult to attain.
Ekanta.
Ekanta.
Pure.
Pure.
Bhaktya.
Bhaktya.
By devotional service.
By devotional service.
Kaha.
Kaha.
Who is that man?
Who is that man?
Vanchet.
Vanchet.
Should desire.
Should desire.
Padamulam.
Padamulam.
Lotus feet.
Lotus feet.
Vina.
Vina.
Without.
Without.
Bahi.
Bahi.
Outsiders.
Outsiders.
Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, pure devotional service, pure devotional service is even difficult for liberated persons to discharge. But devotional service alone can satisfy you. Who will take to other processes of self-realization if he is actually serious about the perfection of life? Purport. The word satam refers to transcendentalists. There are three kinds of transcendentalists. I think we have a little bit of an echo. I'd have to adjust the equalizer. Thank you. There are three kinds of transcendentalists: the jnani, yogi, and bhakta. Out of these three, the bhakta is selected as the most suitable candidate to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is emphasized herein that only one who is outside devotional service would not engage in searching for the lotus feet of the Lord. Foolish people sometimes maintain that God may be attained in any way, either by karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, etc. But here it is clearly stated that it is impossible to obtain the mercy of the Lord by any means but bhakti yoga. The word durar, the word durar adhya is especially significant. It is very difficult to attain the lotus feet of the Lord by any method other than bhakti yoga. Om jnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurmitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shivasadi gaura bhakta vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare
Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So this is the song sung by Lord Shiva to the Prachetas, who would sing it later and achieve self-realization. So Krishna is only attained by devotees who are executing devotional service. Otherwise, Sri Krishna is very, very difficult to attain. So there are people who are executing different processes to try to attain Krishna, but they're not able to do so unless they're following the path of Bhakti Yoga. So it's not, in one sense, not very easy to come to the conclusion of understanding who Krishna is, the Tattva of the Supreme Lord. Because the very nature of the jivas in this material world is to forget Krishna. That's why this material world has been created. It's a place where one can forget Krishna, or try to forget Krishna, and try to be the supreme, not try to be the Lord of all that be. Right? That's the purpose of the material world. It's been created so the living entities can have this fantasy, like there's a fantasy land. In the same way, Krishna has created this fantasy land for the living entities who are averse to serving Him. So they can go to this section of Krishna's creation, and they can imagine themselves to be the Lord of all that be. But in reality, that's not what is happening, because we are not the Lord of all that be. It is Krishna. And the laws of nature are, they tell us who's in charge, right? But still, out of our stubbornness and conditioning, we are thinking that we are the Lord of all that be, or at least Lord of something. If not the Lord of all that be, we are the Lord of something. So, and this is called ahankar, the false ego.
Illusion.
So, illusion, ahankar, false ego means to think that I am this body and I'm the doer. And naturally then, because I'm the doer, then I'm the enjoyer and the proprietor of at least few things or something, if not everything. So somebody who's in real illusion, they say, okay, I'm God, or I am this, I'm that. But the laws of nature, they make us humble. So this polluted consciousness also pervades different transcendentalists, right? So there's different types of yoga mentioned in this verse. There's karma yoga mentioned, jnana, dhyana, and then the bhakta, bhakti yogi. So we see in the karmis, jnanis, and dhyanis, even this consciousness, this polluted consciousness of I am the doer, this false ego is pervading. And because this consciousness is pervading, their understanding is polluted. Right? So the jnanis are after aham brahmasmi. They want to become the Brahman. So because this polluted consciousness is there, it leads to self-aggrandizement. And sometimes it's even there as practicing devotees. Right? It doesn't mean one is a devotee, one is suddenly free of self-aggrandizement or self-importance. So these, we come to Krishna consciousness with polluted consciousness, and we hope in the process we become purified. Right? This because one is wearing adorned a dhoti, a kurta, or a sari, or tilak. doesn't mean toing and then suddenly we are free of false ego. It doesn't work like that. In fact, it can take a long time from the perspective of this life. But in the grand scheme of things, from the perspective, the overall perspective, it's a very short time. That purification is occurring very quickly. But still, it might be there for devotees also. And it takes time. By practice of devotional service, it goes away. But one who thinks that they are the body, and then their intelligence is not very pure. Their intelligence is contaminated. Right? So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the third chapter, I believe, he says that this lust resides at various places. Right? And one of those, Krishna outlines where the lust resides. And he says one of those places is the intelligence. So that intelligence is not very pure. And the demigods in their prayers to the Lord in the womb, they make this prayer in the 10th canto. They say, Ye anye arabindaksha vimukta maninas tvai asta bhavad avishuddha buddhaya aroya krishrena param padam tata patanti adho anadrita yushmat angraha. So the demigods, they are explaining the position of those who they take people who take shelter of the Lord, but they're not really devotees, and they've accepted different processes for salvation. So then he's explaining what happens to them. So he says, O lotus-eyed Lord, all the non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated. Their intelligence is impure. Vimukta maninas. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for your lotus feet. So the jnanis, they practice, right? The world, what is the practice of the jnanis? It is austerity. So the jnanis, they are practicing austerity, and it's a very dry process. So Krishna consciousness has a lot of rasa. Okay, so the jnanis versus the bhaktas. So for the devotees, it's a very engaging and very exciting process of Krishna consciousness. And whereas for the jnanis, they are simply studying. And they try to come to the understanding, I am not this body, I am the spirit soul, and I need to detach my mind from the sense objects. That's what the jnanis are trying to do. And their process is a very austere and very dry one. So simply studying all day texts like the Upanishads, and it's very, very dry, esoteric. But for devotees, we engage in the limbs of devotional service. And can you imagine a life without prasadam, festivals? We just had Janmashtami, Radhashtami, Jula Niyatra, and now Damodar Ashtakam, right? The Damodar Leela festival is about to come. So there's so many festivals coming. Gaur Purnima, Nithyananda Trayodasi, so one after the other, the appearance of the acharyas, the kirtans, and the association of devotees, and prasadam. So without these things, where will be? It will be so dry, right? So the process of Krishna consciousness is very exciting, and there is a lot of different types of activities, and even in service, there's so much variegatedness. There's different types of service to suit different personalities. Okay, so everyone has a different nature, and or different devotees are attracted to different kinds of services. Not everyone does the same thing. So there are so many different activities. Whereas the jnanis, they are artificially trying to detach their mind. And they do that by repression. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, what does repression accomplish? It accomplishes not much, maybe for some time. They are able to artificially renounce, but because the renunciation is artificial, it is falgu vairagyam. Falgu means weak. Because that renunciation is weak, it doesn't last for too long, and therefore they fall down. So Rupa Goswami, he explains that falgu vairagyam, he says, prapan chikataya buddhya hari sambandhi vastuna mukshuli parityago vairagyam falgu kathyate. So Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says, when persons eager to achieve liberation renounce things related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thinking them to be material, their renunciation is called incomplete. So the jnanis, they artificially renounce this world. Things which are in connection to Krishna, they renounce them. See. But devotees, they embrace anything which is in relation to the Supreme Lord, which will make it possible to render devotional service. So that's the difference. So Prabhupada famously said, and even he showed by his activities an example, he said, Prabhupada said, the jnanis, they refrain from money. Well, most don't actually. they at least make a show of refraining from money. But Prabhupada, he said, I take the money. And Prabhupada, he took the money and he engages it in the Supreme Lord's service. And to run an institution or any organization requires men, requires some, to run any endeavor or business, you need some capital. Right? Prabhupada says you need capital, resources, labor. What else, Prabhuji? Kaushalya Prabhu. What else you need? You run a business, right? So you need capital, resources.
Land,
right? So resources. And to artificially renounce these things, then it's very difficult to progress the Krishna consciousness movement. Virtually is impossible. So Prabhupada, he understood that these things, they belong to the Supreme Lord. And so devotee understands that everything in this material world belongs to Krishna. Krishna is the proprietor of everything. Therefore, everything should be engaged in Krishna's service. So a devotee has that understanding. And Prabhupada, he demonstrated that. Whereas the jnanis, they say, this world is false. It is mithya. Right, so they fail to recognize that Krishna is the proprietor of everything. And because they fail to recognize that, they try to artificially renounce themselves from this material world and from the things of this material world. Because they can't see the connection with Krishna. And then because they artificially try to renounce it, they can't last in that renunciation for so long. And we see so many jnanis, big gurus, they make a show of renunciation, but after some time, they embrace the things that they renounced. And because they do that, they get into a lot of trouble. And primarily sex life, right? So they make a show of renunciation of marriage, but then they embrace the very same thing and then they fall down, right? So, but with the devotee is in a safer position because a devotee understands that Krishna is the proprietor of everything and then tries to use things in the service of the Supreme Lord. But even with devotees, with this vairagyam, we have to be careful. So sometimes devotees can have a tendency of saying, Yukta Vairagya Prabhu. So I can engage anything in the service of the Lord, but actually they're desiring it for themselves. Like, I'll have this, I'll have that, I'll go here, I'll go there, I'll do this, I'll do that, but for the service of the Lord, but in fact they are desiring it for themselves. So then that is also, there's a fine line, it's a balance. So, and that requires intelligence and maturity and strength in devotional service. Otherwise we can take things for the service of the Lord for oneself. Right, so so the jnanis, they fall down because they don't understand everything belongs to Krishna. So in order to attain, to achieve the Supreme Lord, one has to give up jnana. So this nice verse, jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva jivanti san mukharitam bhavitya vartam stane sita shruti gatam tano tanu vamanobir ye prayaso jita jito ajita jito api asitai trilokyam. So this is a prayer by Lord Brahma. He says, those who, even while remaining situated in their established social positions, throw away the process of speculative knowledge and with their body, words and mind offer all respects to descriptions of your personality and activities, dedicating their lives to these narrations which are vibrated by you personally and by your pure devotees, certainly conquer your lordship, although you are otherwise unconquerable by anyone within the three worlds. So Lord Brahma is explaining the process of attaining the Supreme Lord. So he's saying that, first of all, one needs to reject this process of speculative knowledge. While being situated in one's own position, sthane sthita, shruti katham, tam tanu mam, what is it? Sthane sthita shruti katam tanu van manobhir. So one doesn't need to give up anything. Sthane sthita. One can be situated where one is. So if one is a householder, one doesn't need to renounce. Right? So with other processes, some like with the process of jnana, one has to become a brahmachari or a sannyasi. One has to renounce sex life, and then one can, they say, one can progress. But with Krishna consciousness, we don't tell people to give up everything, give up their job, give up their family, give up their children, give up their career. So they say, sthane sita, be where you are. Be where you are and chant Hare Krishna. So that's the process of Krishna consciousness. And then naturally, when one progresses in Krishna consciousness, they will begin to give up things which are coming in the way of Krishna consciousness. Gradually, they'll themselves give it up. But we don't tell people that as a prerequisite, you need to give up things. In fact, even if they're not following the four regulative principles, we tell them to chant Hare Krishna. And by that chanting of Hare Krishna, that purification will lead to giving up the sinful activities and removing the complexities which are there. It gradually happens. So then Brahma tells to cast away jnana that is devoid of bhakti. Right, so jnana is fine as long as it supports Krishna consciousness. If jnana, we even see in Bhagavad Gita, there's so many chapters, some chapters dedicated to jnana yoga, like in chapter 13, there's a bit, chapter 4. So if that is supporting bhakti, Krishna consciousness, and that's fine. And so, and we even see in the Shastras, there's so much mention of the this material world, how this material world is a place of suffering, and we also need to cultivate that knowledge in order to gain some detachment, and that knowledge leads to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, right? So we cultivate this knowledge, and then we render devotional service. It's not that we just end over there. We understand the nature of this world, but then we engage in Krishna's service. And then Lord Brahma says, one has to, with one's body, mind and words, offer respects to the descriptions of the personality and activities, dedicating their lives to these narrations, which are vibrated by the Supreme Lord personally and by his pure devotees. So then we have to listen to the narrations of the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, narrated by his pure devotees. So Srila Prabhupada literally, he narrated these, so all the books, right, Srila Prabhupada's books, he literally narrated them. He was speaking in a recorder, right? Srila Prabhupada would wake up early in the morning at 1 or 2 a.m. and then he would speak in the microphone and he would make a recording. Then there was a whole process. That recording, that tape was given to some devotees. They would translate it and then eventually it would make its way into the books, right? So Srila Prabhupada was speaking the Bhaktivedanta purports. And Srila Prabhupada said, these purports are as good as myself. That's quite a big thing to say, for someone to say that the book is as good as themselves. But because it is. Srila Prabhupada's books are as good as himself. Srila Prabhupada, so many of us are not in the physical presence of Prabhupada. I mean, we can say we are in the presence of Prabhupada in his murti, but there are Prabhupada's disciples who interacted with Srila Prabhupada, right? And they had that good fortune, and they heard from Prabhupada directly. And they got his vapu. But Srila Prabhupada, he spoke these books, and he wrote these books. And he said that one can gain my association but simply by reading these books and by hearing these books. So Srila Prabhupada is as good as his books. He is in his books. And if we want to know Srila Prabhupada, we can just hear his lectures and read his books, and then we are directly associating with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada had so much confidence in his books. He said, as a doomsday scenario, even if everything is destroyed, everything goes away, but if my books are there, some intelligent person will pick up these books and he'll revive everything again. So Prabhupada gave like a doomsday scenario. So he had so much confidence in his books, and that's what he means when he says, I am as good as, these books are as good as me. And in that way we can, a devotee can conquer the unconquerable. So the Supreme Lord is Ajita, right? It is said here. Ajita means, thanks Prabhu, Ajita means unconquerable. So Krishna cannot be conquered. The laws of nature cannot be conquered. Man is trying to conquer the laws of nature by making so many adjustments. Just like right now in Australia, there's a big drought. And most of the country, and actually most of the world, is facing a water crisis. In Chennai, there was no water recently. Still, it's a big crisis over there. And so mankind is trying to overcome these problems by their own ways. So maybe have a desalination plant, or come up with better water-saving technologies. So they're taking a technological approach. But they're not trying to understand the laws of nature and how they work. So the Supreme Lord is unconquerable, and man is trying to conquer the laws of nature by their own methods. But by this process of Krishna consciousness, the Supreme Lord becomes conquered. And the example is Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda was able to conquer the Supreme Lord, right? So she was able to conquer the Supreme Lord, Damodar, by tying a rope. She was able to tie the Supreme Lord. Can you imagine you tying your boss to his chair? You just tie the boss to maybe a pillar or something. And but Mother Yashoda was able to tie Krishna to the mortar by her love. And Krishna agreed to be tied. So Krishna took, for his very intimate devotees, Krishna takes away all the awe and reverence so they can interact, so they can have a very intimate rasa with him. So that's why Krishna hides his opulence. So this process of sadhana bhakti is meant to revive our unconditional love with Krishna. And that sadhana bhakti purifies the heart. So most people in this world, as it's mentioned here, who will take to other processes of self-realization if he's actually serious about the perfection of life? So in this day and age, people are not even serious about the perfection of life. What to speak of taking up some other process? So 99% of the world, people of the world are bhukti kamis, right? So they're just interested in sense gratification. So most people in the world, they try to find some meaning and fulfillment in things other than Krishna consciousness. So for people, they find fulfillment in career. A lot of people, they think, okay, if I, they take the career so seriously and they try to advance in the corporate ladder, and they try to find some meaning out of the work. And so you can see some people, they work so hard and the work is all in all for them. They take it so seriously. And then the others, some people get some meaning out of sports. So for some people, they try to find some purpose and meaning out of music. And others find from in relationships or different types of activities. So in this way, people try to define a meaning, define their own meaning of this world and give it some purpose. And try to achieve and find sense gratification. So for the average person, they just go about their life through uni, have different relationships, then settle down, become a mortgagee, right? Get a mortgage, go about work, and then slowly get old and they die, and when they get old, they try to give some lessons to their grandchildren or their children, and then also teach them to do the same thing again. So it's called chewing the chew. So a devotee, Prabhupada says, or Krishna says, a devotee might do those very same things, same activities, but a devotee should not be seen in that light. Right, so a devotee might also have a mortgage or a job or family, and then sometimes even devotees despise themselves though they're doing these things. But devotees, because they're doing these things for the purpose of serving the Supreme Lord and to give themselves some facility to serve the Supreme Lord, they're actually great yogis, and they should be respected and associated with. Right, so a devotee might do these things, but they should not be mistaken to be a karmi. So the process of sadhana bhakti, it purifies one's heart. So by the process of chanting, as Lord Brahma says, by hearing, right? So by dedicating one's body, mind, and words. So the body is dedicated to the instructions we hear from the spiritual master and from Srila Prabhupada, by rendering devotional service. And the words are used to speak about Krishna. That's what the words are for. So people use their tongue to speak about so many kinds of nonsense. Right? There are so many conversations people are having. So many discussions. People are having political discussions. Social discussions. So many big conferences and discussions where people are using their words or tongue. And it's leading to no solution. In fact, it's creating more problems. All the big conferences are leading to more problems. And that by using their words in that way, they are simply attracting the snake of death. Right? The time factor is compared to a snake in the Shastra. And by using their words or talking all kinds of things, they're just wasting their time, and then at one point death comes. And when death comes, it doesn't wait for anything. All the plans are finished. You're gone like this. So by using one's words, whatever one hears, by talking to devotees and by preaching, speaking, whoever you can speak to, even if you're not doing big preaching, no big deal. You can speak to somebody at your work or a friend or family. You can speak something, whatever they are willing to hear. You can tell them about Krishna at the level they are at. And that is using one's words. And then the mind, tam manobir says, right? Mind, it is used, the mind is used for thinking. That's what the mind does. We're always thinking about something. So people are using their mind to come up with ways for better ways of sense gratification. So they can use the mind for thinking about the lotus feet of the Lord, thinking about Krishna's service. Practically, that's how you use the mind. And in that way, we become purified. But by doing these things, the heart becomes purified. It's just like, I saw Gaurav Prabhu here, the jeweler. So if you take gold, right, like sometimes here also at the temple, people put in the donation box. When I used to work in the treasury, I would count the donation box every Monday. Now Arjun Sarkar is doing it. Is that right? You're still doing it? Okay. So, and sometimes people put some a gold ring there. And you know it's not 24 carat. By looking at it and by lifting it, you can tell by the weight of it and by the color of it. So, but it still has some gold in it. So that means there are lots of impurities there in that gold ring or that necklace. So how is that gold derived? How do you get the pure gold? You melt it. You give it to Gaurav Prabhu. Give him a ring. I used to call him. Give it to him and then he would get it melted and then the pure gold comes out. So the process of devotional service is like that. Is by engaging in sadhana bhakti, and then the heart, which is impure, it becomes purified by engaging in that process. So it's like the melting of all the anarthas. And then Srila Prabhupada, he says, foolish people sometimes maintain that God may be attained by any way. Right? By any means other than bhakti yoga. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he classifies these different types of yogis to all be kamis. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Madhya Leela, there's a very nice verse. Krishna bhakta nishkam ata eva shanta bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakali ashanta. Right, so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Krishna bhakta, devotee of Lord Krishna, is nishkam, desireless. Ata eva shanta, because he's desireless, he's peaceful. And a devotee of Krishna is free of bhukti. Bhukti means material enjoyment. And is free of mukti. So the mukti kamis are those who want liberation. And then also of siddhi, right? Wanting different yogic perfections. So he says, because the devotee of Lord Krishna is desireless, he is peaceful, fruitive workers desire material enjoyment, jnanis desire liberation, and yogis desire material opulence. Therefore, they all are lusty and cannot be peaceful. So, Krishna, he classifies the different types of yogis as all kamis. So even the jnanis, they have material desire, right? So the jnanis also have material desire. It's not that they don't have material desire. So their material desire is to become one with the Supreme Lord. And that is like one of the last snares of Maya, Srila Prabhupada says. So their desire is so big, they want to be one with the Supreme Lord. That's such a big material desire. So they also have material desires. And sometimes the jnanis we see, they look like they're performing devotional service. You see different gurus, right, in India. They're also performing deity worship, they're having kirtan, they're doing the whole thing. So it looks like they're devotees. But then they say that once we achieve Brahman, we'll give this up. So Srila Prabhupada gives the example of someone who climbs a wall using a ladder, then he kicks that ladder away. So some of these like big gurus, that's what they say, that bhakti is for people who are a bit sentimental, right? So people who are a bit emotional, they need bhakti yoga. They need this kirtan, they need all these rasas, they need deity worship. So yes, they can do it for some time as a support, but once they achieve a higher level, then you give that up. And that is very offensive. So they have this wrong understanding. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, one should not associate with the jnanis and the mayavadis, because though it might look like they're performing devotional service, but by associating with them, our consciousness becomes polluted. And the analogy is given of a snake drinking the milk which has been touched by the fangs of a serpent. So it's like you have some milk and then an eastern brown comes or a tiger snake comes and it drinks a little bit of the milk and in the process leaves some poison, right, in the milk. And then it looks like milk and it is milk. But one heats it up and it smells great and you drink it and then you're dead. Suddenly you go, what happened? Your nervous system shuts down and what happened, right? Because we have consumed the milk which has been touched by the fangs of a serpent, or a poisonous serpent. So associating with mayavadis and the jnanis is like that. So by associating and hearing from them and reading other books, not coming in the parampara, then one's consciousness can become polluted and one can fall down from the path of Krishna consciousness. And then the siddhi kamis. So the siddhi kamis, they also have material desire. It's not that they don't have material desire. So if you like go to Kumbh Mela, you'll see so many yogis. They come to Kumbh Mela. Some of them have siddhis, right? Or they're performing amazing feats. And some of them have like lances through their body, through their tongue, and doing amazing things. I haven't been to Kumbh Mela, but I've seen some videos. And but they still have material desire, because when they get those things, they become proud. And because they want those things, that's a material desire. So Srila Prabhupada, he said one time that what the yogis are doing, modern man has also done it through the use of technology. Right? Like, the yogis have a siddhi to go anywhere. So man has... Now they're trying to go to other planets and different places. You can go to another part of the world. Just catch a plane. Like a yogi can walk over water. You just sit in a boat. You can also walk on water. You can walk in on a cruise ship or on a ship. You're walking on, literally you're walking on water. So the Siddhi Kamis, they try to gain all these desires, these perfections, by their practice of yoga. And when they do this, they get distracted by these perfections. Right? So anima, lagima, all these eight major siddhis are there. And then they get distracted and they make a big show of it. And because people are foolish and gullible, they fall for it. And they think, oh, Maharaj, you know, because he can do this thing or that thing, and or because they can produce gold from their mouth or open their hands and gold comes out. And people think they're God. So then they also have that material desire. They think, oh, I'm God because I'm doing these things. And in fact, and then there's the Bhukti Kami. Bhukti Kami is the ordinary person, which I described earlier. They just want to be happy, find some sense gratification. So these are the three types of Kamis. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu classifies all of them, the Karma Yogis, Jnana Yogis, Dhyanis, as all Kamis, because they have a material desire. And when we have material desires, we cannot be peaceful. As I don't know about you, but I've noticed that when you have material desires, then the mind is not peaceful. So people get things what they want, but then what happens? They start to compare. And the mind is not peaceful. I've got, you know, this much salary. I wanted maybe a 300k salary. I've got it. But the guy, other guy, is getting 500k. And the mind is not peaceful. So people are not then not peaceful by having material desires, and then leads to comparison. They went to some retreats with Devamrita Maharaj, and he says there's the satisfizers and the maximizers, right? So the maximizers are always, they get what they want with the endeavor, but then they're comparing themselves against others, and because they compare themselves, they're actually more miserable than they were before. As compared to the satisfiers. So the material desires doesn't lead to peace. And literally we can see it in this world, there have been more wars than there's been peacetime. Since World War II, like World War I happened 1914 to 1918, then 1939, or I think World War II started, went till 45. In the tens of millions, people died. And since then, there's been so many conflicts. So material desires literally leads to war, because people have different desires. Collectively, they have different desires, and then they fight like cats and dogs. And people can't even sleep at night sometimes, you see. And their mind is disturbed. So and material desires leads to pride. When one has some money, one gets some money or some facility or position, then people become proud. Right? It leads to pride. You can see Hiranyakashipu. He got so many siddhis, right? He got all these benedictions, and he became so proud. Hiranyakashipu became so proud, and he said, "Okay," and he even Ravan. Ravan got these benedictions by Lord Shiva, and he became so arrogant and proud. So when people get these benedictions, they get material facility and advancement, they become very proud. And to approach the Supreme Lord is the opposite of pride. One has to become humble, right? So in the 13th chapter, Krishna says, one of the first atoms of knowledge is amanitam, humility. So, and approaching a spiritual master. So to approach a spiritual master means you have to be humble. So, though sometimes you can go to a spiritual master with an agenda and with some pride and tell them, "I want to do this, this, that. Can you please approve it?" And then the guru says, "Yeah, sure. No worries." But it in spiritual life, it begins with humility. And for devotees, as it is mentioned, liberation here, devotees don't need to worry about liberation. Liberation comes automatically to a devotee, right? So, we engage in Krishna consciousness, devotees don't think about liberation. And liberation is secondary for devotees. In fact, there's a prayer that liberation is standing with folded hands for a devotee. So, a devotee doesn't need to worry about much. Just engage in the process of Krishna consciousness and everything will be taken care of. And that is very practical. I can say for myself, I was here for some time, did some little bit of service, and then I left. Didn't need to worry about anything. And the Supreme Lord made all sorts of arrangements. The material comforts were all taken care of. Economic development, and money, everything just came. So when one engages in Krishna consciousness, then the Supreme Lord, He takes care of His devotees. He provides us with the necessities of what we need, right? Might not get what you want, but definitely you'll get what you need. And then similarly, even liberation comes naturally for a devotee. A devotee doesn't need to worry about that. Like, we don't need to worry about comforts. And in the same way, liberation is standing with folded hands for a devotee. For one who has dedicated their life to Prabhupada's mission, they don't need to worry about liberation. So for the jnanis, they worry about liberation. But for a devotee, liberation is taken care of. Their next destination, if not they are liberated and go back to the spiritual world, they'll definitely come back in the family of a devotee and continue that process of Krishna consciousness. So in Krishna, He takes care of everything for devotees. Because Krishna is not ungrateful for the service rendered by His devotees. Even you see that, even with people, even with non-devotees, you render them some service, they're grateful for it. Most people are. Right? Most people are quite grateful for what you do for them. At work, if you, they're grateful and they look after you, try to look after you. So in the same way, if we render service to Krishna, then he looks after His devotees. And even liberation is taken care of. So though yes, initially in the beginning stages of devotional service, for a devotee they aspire for liberation or they aspire to go back to Godhead, but in the advanced stages of Krishna consciousness, a devotee doesn't even aspire for that. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, na dhanam na janam na sundari kavitam va jagada ish Jagat Ishakamai, Mama Janmani, Janmanishvare, Bhavatat Bhakti Rahi Tugi Dori. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, in the advanced stages of devotional service, I do not want high birth, right? Prestige, number of followers, women, and even liberation. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that. So, this is the advanced stages of Krishna consciousness. And in the beginning stages, we aspire to go back to Godhead. But for an advanced devotee, they don't even aspire for that. So I'll leave it here. Do you have any comments or questions on what we spoke about today? Mahatma Prabhu.
As you said, Krishna says everything. Verses 922 in Bhagavad Gita. Ananya Shintyato Maam Yidena Parapasate. Krishna promises, I take care of everything what you have and what you don't possess. The devotee should never be.
Yes, it requires faith. It requires very strong faith. That if I render service, not thinking about myself, I'll be taken care of. Yeah, it requires faith and it comes with time. Thank you, Guru. Yeah.
Can I ask perhaps an unanswerable question? Let me show you the grammar in the last line.
With my grammar?
No,
in the PowerPoint?
The actual word for word, the last line is Padamula Lotus Feet, Mina without, and Bahi outsiders. And having trouble translating, seeing the relationship between that and what Sri Prabhupada has given us. I was wondering if you could be really helpful, because you're a Hindi speaker.
Rasanandini is saying that she's having difficulty with the translation. In the Sanskrit it says Padamoolam Vina Bahi, and the word for word is lotus feet without, Bahi means outsiders, and she's struggling to see how that translates into who will take to other processes of self-realization, if he's actually serious about perfection of life. Yeah, that's what you're struggling with. And just saying, because I know Hindi, maybe I can assist with that. Yeah, look, I won't even try, because number one, I don't know Hindi well, and number two, even if I knew Hindi or Sanskrit well, I don't have the adhikar to translate Srila Prabhupada's. I don't have the adhikar to translate.
Such a nice
question. But we can take what Prabhupada says, right? So Prabhupada understands the context, and he has translated that. So we take it like that. I said, yeah, devotees don't. I said, devotees acquire knowledge. Like, we also, we take elements of jnana as long as it supports devotional service. So, there are some verses, like, which directly speak about bhakti yoga, and there are so many verses which don't directly talk about bhakti yoga. But as a devotee, we need to be very well versed in knowledge, shastra. Because why do we learn shastra? It is so we can render service, right? The whole idea is to give us the conviction so we can chant the holy name of the Lord attentively with conviction, and also render service with the right attitude. That's the whole idea. So Prabhupada wanted devotees to be very learned. So yes, Bhagavad Gita talks about Jnana, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga. The middle six chapters are about Bhakti, right? So yes, but that doesn't mean we don't need to know the other chapters, because we need to understand them also, because we are not convinced about Bhakti, right? So they gradually lead to that conviction. And also for preaching, one needs to understand Shastra, because people will throw so many arguments. And so in order to understand their arguments, we need to understand Shastra. So important to study. But it's not, however, there's a fine line that it's not all about quoting shlokas right? Sometimes one's advancement is not determined by how much Shastra you know, right? At the same time, one can quote so many shlokas like a parrot. Like a parrot, there are some birds who can mimic sound. I can't remember the name of one bird. Anirudh Prabhu's Achintya Rupa was telling me last week. There's a bird. We were in a forest and then we heard one bird and she said, I can't remember the name of the bird, but that bird can mimic any sound.
Minor bird.
Which one?
Minor bird.
Minor, okay.
Lyre bird.
Lyre bird.
Lyre bird.
Okay, it's a minor.
Minor bird.
Alright, thank you. And that bird can mimic the sound of a drill, for example.
Yeah,
lyre bird. Okay, minor bird, lyre bird, same thing. It's that bird. It can mimic the sound. So, a parrot can also can repeat things. So, one can repeat so many shlokas, one can be very, very knowledgeable in the Shastra and give fantastic classes, be very charismatic, speak in a fantastic way. But if one becomes proud with all that knowledge, and sometimes knowledge can also be an obstacle in Krishna consciousness. One acquires so much knowledge, one is just then caught up in one's head. They're not able to put that in practice. It's all about just speaking and showing off one's knowledge. Then that is also useless. Then that knowledge is an impediment. Then better one not have so much knowledge and have the service attitude is more important. Any final point?
Lord Shiva is glorifying devotional service.
Yes, that's right. Thank you. All right, okay, so we'll end here. Yes, Prabhu. So your question is, they do aarti etc. but think God is light, so who are they doing it to? Yeah, okay. So they're doing it to that light. Or sometimes even they're doing it to themselves. They think they're God. So Krishna, when Narada Muni, he was going from palace to palace, one time he saw the Supreme Lord waking up early in the morning and meditating on himself. So Krishna can do that because he's God. He can meditate on himself. But the Jnanis, sometimes the Mayavadis, they try to imitate the Supreme Lord. And they'll sit and meditate on themselves, thinking they are the absolute Aham Brahmasmi. So they're worshipping Aarti to the Murti, but then they think, okay, once I achieve that state, I don't need all these things. They are lower. That's how they think. That's offensive. All right, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.